You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
We're back for hour number two on the Roto Experts in the morning. Mike Blewett and George Kurtz, peeking out of the around the world of the NFL and its relation to fantasy football. Obviously, a wide range of topics in that first hour. Talked a lot about running backs and the Denver Broncos and all that kind of stuff. So I'll start off, and even kick returners. But, George, I'll start off hour number two by saying that Rob Gronkowski was a surprise start last night for New England. He is his first preseason action since 2012. But he was on the field for the team's 15 of first 17 plays. No targets, no caught passes, but he got out there and got a little bit of work. Obviously, Gronk only played a half a season last year. He still won the Super Bowl. But we go into this year, and Gronk got out there. He got some work. I think it was probably just he's clearly they don't need to boost Gronk's confidence, obviously, but I know he's a favorite, a fan in a fan sense. He's a favorite of yours. I'm just curious how you approach him going into drafts.
Well, he's another guy I don't have in any league. It's hard to draft him in the second round when you know he's going to get hurt, when tight end is so deep, and I know I can wait till round eight, round nine, and still end up with a Zach Ertz or, you know, someone like that, even Eric Ebron. For the wait that long, I have no problem with getting these guys. So I'm not drafting Rob Gronkowski. You mentioned it. He is a fan favorite of mine. I love watching him. I think the way he looks, how much fun he has during the game, how big a mismatch he is over and over again, playing with Tom Brady, getting all those touchdowns. Love the player. Not going to spend the draft capital to acquire him, though, not with the position being so deep.
He's been a second-round pick in most of the drafts and mocks that I've done. Is that accurate for you as well?
I've seen him second, so I can see him top of the third as well, but generally late second, top three.
Yeah, so I'm not drafting him either. And he's the type of guy that will win people leagues. So it's okay to roll the dice on his health because if you're playing with a risky strategy. I can't criticize people for taking a player of Rob Gronkowski's talent level and fantasy value. But you're just dealing with something on the back end. The guy's had multiple back surgeries. I can't possibly trust a player like that. I would never trust a player at another position like that. And as monstrous as Gronk is, I can't possibly trust him. And I will say this. I have in the past, I very rarely owned Gronk, but in the one time I did, and in the mocks that I always do, I never like how my team shapes out when I draft a tight end early. I just don't feel comfortable with it by the end of the draft. I feel like I've hurt my wide receiver and running back value clearly to take a player like that.
I would agree with you. I think you know I agree with you. It's the same thing with me. I love Gronk. I truly do, but I can't take the injury risk. I'm a conservative drafter as it is. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to have a Jordan Reed. I would take Gronk over Reed at this point, but I'm not going to have either one on my teams.
I totally agree with that. Talk a little bit more about the Pats and a bunch of other teams that are in action last night on the Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Roto Experts in the morning. It's Mike and George. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio if you want to give us a call to ask any draft questions at 844-843-6879. Jeez, I almost forgot the phone number, George. What is wrong with me? 84-FNTSY. Just do that. I'm pretty sure I said the phone number right. What is happening here? It's hour number two of the show. I should be in my rhythm right now. I think I forgot the phone number for a second.
I think we all forget the phone. I mean, come on, we've all had brain lock. We forgot the phone number for a little bit. So I'm not going to get on you for that, Mike, because I know it's happened
to
me.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
It's your
it's fair. You're fair game, and I'm looking for reasons to get on you. But I'm going to try and be I'm going to try and be fair myself here and realize that I've done the same damn thing.
Well, I appreciate that. But by the way, when I do the show from home studio at times, which today is one of those days. I usually work with two laptops, and both laptops are currently malfunctioning. So
apparently they're not
flying by the seat of my pants right now. So in any event, I wanted to get back to some action from last night. And Dak Prescott was, as they put it here on NFL.com, his first drive last night was a showcase. He's not just a one-year wonder. So Dak came out and he impressed last night. And Dak has been an interesting kind of case study for fantasy football, because when the early rankings came out, people were like, well, yeah, let's fire that back up. You know, Dak Prescott, he's going to be a top six quarterback, just like he was last year. And then people started to dive into it a little bit, and they're like, maybe we see a sophomore slump coming, and I don't know exactly what this is going to look like. Obviously, the Zeke Elliott news impacts Dak Prescott in some ways, or does it, George?
Well, you would think it does. I mean, because you would think without Zeke Elliott, say he's going to back up the line of scrimmage a little bit, you know, look to take away Dez in the big play there. So, I had to think it's going to affect Dak a little bit. I watched that Dallas game last night. Dak was impressive. I don't think there's any little doubt about that. But actually, the thing that stuck out to me is, my God, I understand that Dallas offensive line is good, but that Indianapolis defense sucks. I mean, they were blowing those linemen right up the line of scrimmage. For McFadden to get, he wasn't getting touched. He's 5 yards down the field. So if that's the best, and I understand it's week two of the preseason, but if that's the best that Indianapolis has to offer, then Andrew Luck playing or not playing is not their biggest issue.
Look, this team has done a really horrible job of building a team around Andrew Luck. I can't say it any more strongly. It obviously led to a front office change this past offseason. They finally started to address the offensive line. They got Anthony Costanzo is still the left tackle there. They drafted Ryan Kelly a year ago. They have tried to build the offensive line a little bit better around him. Obviously, they've done a decent job with the wide receiver weapons. T.Y. Hilton's great. Philip Dorsett, I hated that pick. I still hate it, but Dante Moncrief has worked out. They took on Kamar Aiken in the offseason. But that defense, you're right, George. I mean, going into the draft, wouldn't you think that they would heavily address the defense? And they actually did this year. But it's not clear that any of these guys are going to start the season, with the possible exception of Anthony Walker, who's an inside linebacker and a fifth-round pick. They took Terrell Basham, Nate Hairston, Quincy Wilson, Malik Hooker was their first-round draft pick. So Grover Stewart is a defensive tackle. So I'll give them credit for saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks in the draft were defensive-related, but they need to fix this thing quickly. And it's you're right. I think this is going to be very common for them to get run over.
Yeah, actually, it's by far what I noticed last night. I mean, it was just I don't want to say it was impressive. As much as I think Dallas does one of the best offensive lines, I think it was more on Indianapolis being unimpressive than the Dallas offensive line being impressive. Tyron Smith didn't even play last night.
I know.
I mean,
he's hurt.
It was concerning. By the way, when we say he's hurt, he'll be fine for the regular season. He's got the back. Yes. Dallas is playing very cautious with him, so nothing really to worry about there. But it was concerning to see Indianapolis really just get blown halfway to hell. I mean, so not pretty. Freddie Nepples. There's a lot of problems with that team right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, look, the Luck thing. Hey, just give me a guess right now what you think with Luck. And I have to caution everybody that this is really a guess because Indianapolis has kept it pretty close to the vest.
Over under on what week he plays, I'm going with week three. I think that's where I'm going. I don't think he's going to start on PUP, but I don't think he start the season either. I mean, we're at August 20th now. The season is, what, seven? How many weeks from today now? 1, 2, 3 weeks from today. And he's still not throwing. I mean, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. It's not like he's supposed to throw this week either. We just don't know. So, I'm thinking no, that he's week three. That's about the over-under week three for me. And like I said, this team has so many issues. The good news last night is Marlon Mack looked good. The rookie running back there, he looked like he had some explosiveness. I found it humorous today that, maybe it was last night that I saw that Philip Dorsett's on the trade block Not in your fantasy league. For Indianapolis, put him on a trade block. Who the hell wants him?
Yeah, he's got no value. He's got no value. I thought that was one of the worst. I said it, and I'm not. This is in a hindsight, it's 2020. I thought that was a horrendous draft pick by them. I don't love him as a player. I think he's just kind of a specialty speed guy. And it was such a what's the word I'm looking for? It was such an indulgent pick by them when they clearly had offensive line issues. He was a 2015 first round draft pick. They had so many offensive line and defense issues to draft a specialty wide receiver with the first pick in the draft. I just thought was very short-sighted. I think it's indicative of why the previous general manager, Ryan Grigson, is no longer in that job. He did a pretty bad job of building around Luck. I think the thought process is like, we'll just give him more weapons. Yeah, well, it's fine. But when the offensive line stinks and he keeps getting hurt, your huge investment keeps getting hurt because the offensive line stinks, then that's a problem.
Yeah, you think? And we've known about this problem for a while. Yeah, listen, some of it's on Luck, too. He stands in that pocket too long looking for the big play. I get it. It's not all the offensive line, but it is a big part of the offensive line. It's always frustrating, Mike, when everybody knows what the problem is. This is not something that you and I were able to discover. Wow, offensive line's an issue. My mother knows the offensive line's a problem for Indianapolis, and yet they don't fix the problem. You know, we talked about it, I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was earlier in the week on one of the other shows, how, you know, drafting offensive linemen early in the first round, it's not sexy. It's not going to sell tickets. It was so hard for Dallas to do that, to get Jerry Jones to understand that, you know, drafting Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith is the right thing to do, you know, to build your offensive line that way. It's difficult. You can't sell tickets that way. I get it. Completely get it. But it's also how you build a rock-solid team, because that line will be together forever, for years. You know, it could be together for a decade, and they protect your quarterback, your franchise quarterback that does sell those tickets for you. You know, they protect it. They open up the holes for the running game here. You know, like I said, you can make an argument that offensive linemen and defensive linemen, you know, the guys in the trenches, that's where a lot of your draft capital should be spent.
Yeah, look, as you said, it's not sexy and it's not fun. But then you have situations when you're drafting offensive linemen and defensive tackles and that kind of stuff. But I actually never criticize teams for doing that kind of stuff. So when Dallas takes a Zach Martin, I'm like, yeah, really solid pick. Or Taylor Lewan by the Titans, or Taylor Decker by the Lions, who's currently injured. Those are the types of picks that end up transforming teams. Like, we're talking about the best offensive lines in football when it comes to Dallas and the Titans, and it's totally transformed their team. It's keeping their quarterbacks healthy and opening up holes for Zeke Elliott and allowing Marcus Mariota to become a transformative player for them. So in that sense,
don't you think players like Derek Carr, Mariota, and Dak Prescott, the reason they have developed is because they know they have that extra second or extra second and a half to scan in the field and find that receiver. They know they're not going to get blasted in 2 seconds by that, you know, 280-pound defensive lineman who's running a 4.5 40. It's hard for me not to think that a good offensive line is not the reason for some of these guys who are less ballyhooed. Not, I understand Mariota was supposed to be good, but Dak wasn't. Carr really, he was second round pick. We didn't see this coming. You know, don't they realize this is a reason why these guys perform so well so quickly?
Yeah, look, the offensive lines are not relevant to fantasy football, but they are directly related to the success that teams have. George, the two teams that missed the least amount of games from their starting offensive line last year in the regular season were the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, okay. Not great offensive lines, but still saw better than average.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's indicative of the success that those two teams had. Seattle, we talked about yesterday, they spent the least amount of money on the offensive line than any team in football.
Yeah. And they spent the most. When they won the Super Bowl, they spent one of the most. Maybe they should learn something, too.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break. It's Mike and George on the Road to Experts from Fantasy Sports Radio Network. back on the Roto Experts, Mike and George, talking football. And George, you previewed this segment, which I wanted to talk about what's going on in Los Angeles. And Jared Goff, as you said, actually looked pretty good. And just reading a game recap, it seems, which I didn't get a chance to watch this game, so just reading a game recap, it seems that Sammy Watkins' presence has actually helped in some ways. It opening up holes for Todd Gurley and opening up opportunities for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who appears to be a favorite of Jared Goff right now. So that draft hype, both NFL and fantasy, seems to be real. In any event, the Rams actually showing out pretty well, the first-team offense.
Yeah, you have to think Watkins helps there. All right, because once again, this is basic football. If you have a legitimate receiver on the outside, especially a legitimate speed receiver, then the safeties have to back off the line of scrimmage. And now if they back off the line of scrimmage, there should be more holes for Todd, the running back, to run through, in this case, Todd Gurley. So this is all good news, right? I mean, it should work that way. You know, it doesn't always work that way, but it should. And Robert Woods gives them a little. Now, when I say a threat, I don't think, I'm not saying Woods would have a great fantasy season, but a legitimate threat. An NFL wide receiver on the opposite side. So it gives them a more legitimate offense than Cooper Kupp, which is some people are goo-goo-eyed over, as your third receiver. So it's becoming a more legitimate NFL offense. That being said, this all depends on Jared Goff. Can he make the adjustments? I understand he had a good game yesterday. I'm going to need to see more before I start moving Watkins up my draft board. No matter what Goff does, he doesn't get into fantasy status this season. Not unless you're, once again, super flex, two quarterback league, and you're looking for a backup, a quarterback three, not a quarterback, certainly not a quarterback one, and I don't think he's going to make quarterback two either. But someone who can cover it during your bye weeks, that's fine. There's just not enough guys to go around. We're all going to be desperate for those when the time comes. But like I said, Mike, the way I look at this trade of Watkins to L.A., now the Rams can figure out. It might take this whole season, but they'll figure out. Is Goff the answer? Is he ready to take that next step? Is he ready to progress and get better and better? Because now the weapons are getting there. But here's the question. Are the Rams going to sign Watkins? I mean, I think that's the big reason why the Buffalo Bills got rid of him, the injuries, is that he's going to want a massive contract too. Are you going to sign him? Are you going to franchise him? What are the Rams going to do with Watkins after this year?
Look, Sammy Watkins is playing for a deal this year, George, and it may or may not be in L.A. I think they have to obviously figure out what Jared Goff is, and they're using Sammy Watkins as a big reason as to why they can do it. Tavon Austin is not going to be a part of the team's future, but they cannot cut him right now. He's a $15 million cap hit, and no other team in football will take that on, and the Rams cannot cut him. You cannot have $15 million in dead money. So they'll use him as much as they can, and they will get out of the deal next year. Next year, if it makes any sense, because I think the cap hit is significantly lower after this year. But in any event, Goff goes 16 of 20 for 160 and a touchdown last night. I think you're fair to ask that question about Watkins, but I can't say right now with any certainty until they see what Goff is that they would re-sign him.
Yeah, it's a lot to give up, though, if you're not going to re-sign him. But then again, I was going to say maybe Watkins doesn't want to stay there, but the Rams could just franchise him, a one-year deal. And as people generally tend to say in sports, there are no bad one-year deals because you get out of it after a year, so generally it's not a huge thing. But I'm curious to see how this works out in the offseason because I'm sure Watkins, for obvious reasons, would like to hit the market. Not only could he go to where he wants to go, but he'd probably make more money. But I got to think, at the very least, Watkins is there one more year in a franchise tag.
I think that's fair. I think they could do that. Look, there's been some talk this week of how bad, I heard it on some ESPN shows, and how bad Goff is, and the Rams already know that they have a miss there. But what are they going to do? They have to play the guy, and they can't get anything in return for him right now. He would garner very little value on the trade market. If they, like, for example, if they put Jared Goff up for trade right now, they can't get anything back from him because it's an admission that he stinks.
I don't think they'll put Goff up for trade right now anyway. I think they do want to give him at least another year. But they're going to have to make a decision. Like I said, in this season, the Rams, I don't think most of us expect to go anywhere. Except for ESPN, Dan Graziano actually thinks they could be a playoff team. I don't see that happening. But I think they could be a better team than they were.
The best player on the team isn't even in camp right now, and he's expecting to hold out into the season.
Yeah, that. Well, I don't think Graziano knew that when he made the statement. This is going back about a month. Okay. But I think Wade Phillips is there, so they think the defense is going to be improved. Because generally, if you look at the numbers under Wade Phillips, his first year with the team, they do improve.
They're great.
Right. So I get the point there. And this is before they got Watkins too. So I can see where you can make the wild card prediction here. You know, because the wild card, the NFC could be somewhat open there, especially the second wild card to find the teams. If you think the NFC East is going to sort of, you know, sort of cannibalize each other with that schedule, and they're all going to kill each other, then the second wild card is up for grabs. Arizona's not the great team. Give Seattle the win there. You know, who from the is it going to be? Tampa Bay, New Orleans in the South, outside of Atlanta. So I get it. Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, none of those are great teams. So I can see where you could make that argument at one point. I don't believe it, mind you, but I can see where you could make it. But I think for the Rams, this is almost a tryout season. They have to figure out, because you can't win in today's NFL. You know it. I know it. You can't win in the NFL without a franchise quarterback. So they need to figure out, is Goff that franchise quarterback, or do we need to go back to the drawing board?
Yeah, I do think some of the criticism is unfair. He did not look good last year, but that team had a wide variety of issues, which resulted in a complete overhaul of the coaching staff. I think that he's working with a guy that's considered to be a QB guru right now in Sean McVay as the head coach, and I think it will help him. Do I expect Jared Goff to wow people this year? No, but I actually expect him to the average expectations that most people have. I think he'll be fine. I just don't think from a fantasy standpoint. And from a fantasy standpoint, I think he finishes in the QB2 range, but at the very end of it.
I think I'll be probably right there. I would agree with that statement. Like I said, for the Rams case, I hope Goff does end up being their quarterback of the future. You spent a lot to get him, a lot of draft capital there, so you hope it works out. But like I said, next year, as we're going to talk about this a lot this season, next year is a strong quarterback class. So you know, if you're in the top 10 in that draft, you either need to take a quarterback or you probably need to trade out, get extra draft picks to a team that does want to take a quarterback. It's a decision that Rams are going to have to make.
So just to talk about Goff a little bit more for a second, George, currently in Fantasy Pros, he's ranked 30th. But here's the guys in front of him. Tom Savage, Trevor Siemian, Deshaun Watson, Brian Hoyer, Alex Smith. The only guy that I can tell, the only two guys I could tell you that will probably have their jobs for the entire season are Alex Smith and Brian Hoyer. So Savage, Siemian, Watson, all at risk of losing their starting jobs. Obviously, two of those guys are on the same team, so people can't figure out who's going to start there. I expected it to be Savage. The closer, the more the preseason goes on, I'm starting to feel like it might be Watson to start the season. But in any event, Mike Glennon is right behind him. Josh McCown is right behind him. So we have the Bears, the Jets, the Texans, the Browns. Those four teams are probably going to do a QB shuffle at some point, right?
You would think, right? I mean, I have Goff at 30, by the way, to answer your question. I have Deshaun Watson. He wasn't very good last night. He was 3-for-10. So I don't know if he starts the season yet. I think he's going to get the job eventually. You know, but I think that's sort of, once again, the guessing game, week 4, week 8, end of the bye, whatever it's going to happen. But I do think he gets the job. But I'm going to cool it on the start of the season. I don't think that's going to happen because of the I just don't think he's ready yet. I think there's another team that doesn't want the quarterback to lose games for them because the defense can win it by themselves. So I think they'll wait there. The Jets, we know, are playing for a quarterback, right? San Fran playing for a quarterback. Cleveland, a quarterback. What was the other team you mentioned?
Bears, Browns, Jets.
Oh, Bears have their quarterback, right? Bears have Trubisky.
Yes.
So I don't think they're necessarily playing for a quarterback there. But I think the other three teams certainly are. And it'll be interesting. When do they make that switch? The Jets, I mean, listen, you've already gotten rid of everybody. Why aren't you starting Hackenberg from day one? Do you even care about winning? I mean, really, we're going to keep killing this over and over again. Family and friends draft the other night. I'm a big Jets fan. You know, so we'll win 5-6 games. No. Really? Really, buddy? I mean, come on. I mean, there's no chance in hell. And
five,
they don't want to win 5-6 games.
They don't.
They win 5 games, I'll start watching cricket. All right, no, it's just not going to happen. So, and they don't want to win games. They want to get that top quarterback. That's why they, it's one of the reasons why they released all those people, Marshall, Decker, and got rid of all these guys. They don't want to win games. They want to suck for Sam and have a shot at one of these top quarterbacks. So that's not going to happen there. Why not start Hackenberg from day one, see what you got? I understand he may not be your quarterback of the future anyway, but there's also nothing wrong with having two good quarterbacks. You need them in today's NFL as well.
Look, the tank is on for the Jets. They do have a talented defense, and it can win them a few games. But they will never say it in the press, obviously. But the tank is on. You don't release all of the offensive players that you have and start some 37-year-old quarterback unless you don't really care about winning. It's not a way to build an NFL team. And now with Quincy Enunwa out, who is actually a lone fantasy bright spot, they're done. Robbie Anderson's the only guy on that team outside of the running backs with any kind of fantasy value. So no tight end value, no quarterback value, just nothing. In any event, we were talking about Jared Goff. Would you put Jared Goff in front of the either of the Jacksonville quarterbacks or both of them?
Not yet. I still got Bortles. He's dropped me, obviously, for obvious reasons. And I have Bortles just ahead of Goff. I have Goff at 30. I have Bortles at 29. You know, and that's until we find out what's going on there. I had to put Chad Henne in my because I haven't done that. That's just here. I'm going to put Chad back in here. But, Bortles is a... could be interesting, right? What's going on there? He could end up being a draft. It could be end up being a bargain in Superflex leagues or two quarterback leagues if he starts and can figure it out. But he's a mess.
You don't want to be a fourth-year quarterback playing for your life in the third preseason game. And that's what he's doing next week. We'll talk more. We'll talk about the Raiders when we come back after this. Back on the Roto Experts. It's Mike and George. After this show,
where's my
Tony
cigar?
Tony Cicada. Yeah, that's right. George says that because this is like we consider this interlude music or background music to be like a 70s cop show kind of music, like the theme song music. So George,
I feel like I should be in the back of a club with you, maybe Tony Cicada. Yeah. Just having a cigar, just, talking about life. Fantasy sports, just life.
I don't like cigars. Is that a bad thing to say?
I don't smoke. I've never had a cigar or a cigarette in my mouth. So But it just seems like it's a thing I should be doing during that tune.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, you're committed to your imagery. So, I can appreciate
it. To my
that.
Cancer.
So. It's a weird way to start that segment. But in any event, George and I were talking a little bit during the break about Ezekiel Elliott, which George was surprised that we hadn't got to mention his name with only 20 minutes to go in the show. But here's what I'll say. We can't pour over it too much on every show because we're not the ones involved in the process. It's six games. I expect it to stay at six games. We've talked about how it impacts his value. You can take the hit on the six games, and Zeke Elliott will massively improve your team when you get back. Can you weather the storm? Can you build a team good enough around him? It's going to be hard because he's still a fourth-round draft pick from what I've seen in draft, George.
I've seen, he's actually more third round than fourth round. But third, whatever he's taking, he's a risk now. I agree with you. I don't think the suspension gets overturned. The hearing's on the 29th, which is a week from Tuesday, which will give the NFL pretty much, 12 days to announce a suspension and keep him, because I don't think Harold Henderson's going to reduce it. So it gives the NFL 12 days to say, hey, you're suspended. Now, generally, the NFL likes to announce these suspensions about the Tuesday before the week starts. So maybe it only gives them a week. And that'll give Elliott's then his lawyers and a couple of days to go to court and try and get an injunction, which is what I expect to happen. And I don't think that injunction is going to be granted. So we go back to the Tom Brady thing. And Brady, although he got the injunction, that judge was then pretty much rebuked by the Court of Appeals, saying, what are you doing? You know, CBA, this is why they have the CBA. We don't get involved in this. It's their fault. This is some really injustice here. And so unless Ezekiel Elliott's lawyers can have some new evidence. And from what we're hearing, they have no new evidence. You know, it's all going to be saying, no, he didn't do it. This is why, because she was trying to, frame him, trying to ruin his career again, which I'm not saying is not true. Because some of it does, but I'm not saying it's not true. But this argument's already been made. It didn't work once. So now they're hoping it's going to work a second time. Will the NFL want to negotiate a deal here? It doesn't seem like they want to because no. Isn't he the first guy to be suspended under this policy? So do they really want to negotiate with their first suspension? I just don't see that happening.
The problem I've had with this whole domestic violence policy that they have, and look, the NFL gets beat up a lot. That's a terrible word to use, but the NFL gets criticized a lot for this policy. And did they botch the Ray Rice situation? Yeah. And did the Greg Hardy thing seem really odd when it got reduced? It totally did. But the problem I've had with this whole situation is that every time a guy gets suspended, there's a referendum on what the policy is. I'm done with this. This is the policy. It's six games, and it can be more if they feel like it needs to be. So this is the policy. It's six games. Make the appeal, and if you win it, then we're good. Then you have zero games. I don't understand why they would reduce the number of games. This is the policy. Stick with it. And if they effectively argue that this woman is lying about the entire incident, then so be it. I don't think that to be the case. So Zeke's going to sit out six games, and he's lucky it's only a football suspension, as you and I have said in the past. So that's the last thing I can say on it. I'm tired of debating the policy every time it comes out. Let's just go with the policy.
Well, the problem is it's not clear cut, right?
Is now, though. It's supposed to be. Six games.
I don't mean the policy. I mean, what did he do it? Did he not do it? That's the problem here. Yeah, with the Ray Rice, we know he did it. Right, we saw the video. No doubt he did it. Yeah, with Zeke Elliott, we don't know. It's a he said, she said. There's no proof. Even some of her friends come out and say, no, that one incident didn't happen. But then, what about the other incident? You know, and is he being punished now because not only of the DV, but because of the bar fight, because of the speeding ticket? Isn't everything put together? And if it is, then why is that going on the DV? You know, so I think that's where it's all confusing here. That being said, I think he had to be suspended. You know, I'll say it again. Lifting up that woman's shirt to expose her breasts, that alone is suspensionable. Probably not on the DV, but that alone can get you a couple of games. He's a guy who doesn't seem to have learned his lesson. Because the domestic violence came out in, what, 16? And this bar fight, the speeding ticket, that just came out the last couple of months. So he hasn't learned his lesson from that. You know, I think that's bothering the NFL. You can't taint the shield. I'm not going to say I feel bad for Roger Goodell, because I do not. You get paid $47 million, and you take the hits. But no matter what he does, he gets criticized for. He suspends Rice for two games. He got killed for it. He gets Ezekiel Elliott gets killed for it. You know, there's just no way of winning here. And this is why he gets paid what he does, because he has to take all the PR hits. Everyone's going to come after him and say, hey, you're an idiot. You're unfair. You hate us. Da-da-da-da-da. And that may be all true and all, but this is what it is. Yeah, this is why he gets paid what he does, because he takes all the hits of the owners so that they don't have to. So they don't have to hear it from the fans. They don't have to hear it from all the groups and all that all this other stuff. So, like I said, I don't think – bottom line is fantasy owners plan that he's gone for six games. If he gets reduced, congratulations, you got a little bonus. But I don't think it's going to happen. Plan for six.
He put together a legitimate counsel in order to review these types of things. So in that sense, I give him credit. He was in an unwinnable situation there for years until they fixed this. I think he's taken criticism in some instances that is unwarranted and unfair to him. But as you said, there are certain situations where he can't win because he's the commissioner and he gets paid $45 million. So the owners let him get thrown under the bus because he works for them. That's the last I can say on it. We'll see what happens with Zeke. You're going to spend third or fourth round draft capital on him. It's a massive risk. Do I expect him to be successful when he comes out of the suspension? Absolutely. I think it's going to look a lot like it did last year, even if he's rusty in the first game back, which I actually don't even expect that to be the case. That offensive line is so good. I think Darren McFadden's value is actually being underplayed for a variety of reasons. But in any event, that's all I have to say. I don't know if you have any last thoughts on that, George.
Like I said, other than be careful here, if you're going to draft Ezekiel Elliott, you'd like to get McFadden, but you're probably going to have to spend around seven, around eight as a running back that's going to start six games, which McFadden is going to has value. I'd also be careful. I'm going to say this again about Ezekiel Elliott. I've said it many times. He's gone for six. It means he's going to play seven regular season games for you. In most fantasy leagues, you play 13. The Cowboy playoff schedule, which is really what you're drafting him for now, to get you to the playoffs and to carry you to the fantasy championship, week 14 at the Giants. Week 15 at the Raiders. Week 16 home to Seattle. I mean, that's rough, folks. Raiders are maybe a tick above average, but the Giants and Seahawks defense, I understand 3 months from now, who the hell knows what their defense will be like. But right now, those defenses are legit. So, you know, you may not get what you're bargaining for with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'll move on to another topic because I wanted to talk about Derek Carr, who looked great last night. He did throw an interception, but he was 7-for-9 for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Amari Cooper had a highlight reel catch, and Marshawn Lynch was in and out. He just really was in for one series, 10 yards on 2 carries. But I guess the good news that you want to see from Derek Carr, it wasn't an injury that we expected to impact him in any way going into the season, but he's in midseason form already, George.
Yeah, that's not surprising. You got to like what we have in Derek Carr. Quarterback 1 for me, but then that 9-12 range. He's just sort of in that sort of mess with everybody else. But a guy I like, got Crabtree, got Cooper. The running game should be better with Lynch. I may not love Lynch, but the running game will be better. You know, so I like all that with Derek Carr. I think he's going to have a fine season.
I had a Carr-Roethlisberger debate in a draft. I think it was the draft I did with
Carr.
You.
No debate there.
No, wait. I think I have Carr and Roethlisberger, or maybe my quarterbacks. Maybe that was the deal.
Question answered.
Yeah.
In a two-quarterback league, laptop, that's fine.
Yeah, if my laptop would function properly, I'd be able to tell you with certainty if that is, in fact, the case. But it is not currently functioning properly. So I'll get to that answer in a minute. In any event, I like Carr a lot this year. I think that you're going to have to spend a little bit to get him. I've been waiting on quarterbacks. That 2QB league was a totally different animal, George, obviously, because you have to take the quarterbacks early and often in order to get what you need. Yeah, I took Derek Carr and Ben Roethlisberger. That's my 2QB situation with Tom Savage as my third. So I'm fine to take Carr wherever it is he's going, which in drafts has been – It's funny, George, because in a lot of our expert drafts, people wait so long. I feel like you can get Derek Carr late. But if you're in a home league draft where people typically spend up for quarterbacks, Derek Carr is probably going seventh round or so.
I would think it's going a little – you said two quarterbacks or one quarterback?
No, one quarterback.
I would think a little later than that. I'm not taking him around seven. I don't need to.
Well,
I'll wait a little bit. But like I said, I like Derek Carr, but I said, he's in that mess with so many other quarterbacks. Quarterback is so deep that if you're not spending early on Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, wait forever.
I'm with you. We've said it all summer long. Come back. We're finishing up the show before fantasy football goal takes over. It's Mike and George. We'll be back after this. We're back on the Roto Experts. Mike and George closing out the show. Fantasy Football Gold coming up after this. Tony Cicada. Credit Street Tavern League is today. And George, Matt Modica, our esteemed colleague, expressed disappointment in our lack of participation in this Credit Street Tavern League and what the league
He's
is.
Right.
As I struggle with my voice. What this league is a combination of people connected with Roto Experts and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports TV Network that are in. There's two different leagues, two different drafts happening today. And Chris Vaccaro, who you've heard on this station, and he does the Friday night show with Matt Modica, happens to own this particular tavern. So they're going to be having good times there and drafts today. George and I were going to potentially own a team together, and I totally blew it up. It is my fault because I'm going on a family vacation for the next couple of days starting today. So,
As I wrote on Twitter, I'm blaming you. I'm blaming all the Mikes. I'm blaming Mike Blewett. I'm blaming Mike Cardano. I don't know what Cardano has to do with this, but I'm going to blame him anyway. But, I mean, it ended up being where it's, I don't know if I would have been able to make it anyway because today is my family party. My mom's coming. My brother's coming over. So I could have, but yeah, we probably made a mistake by not playing in this.
Look, we prioritized fantasy football over many things. I'm not going to win the argument on the family vacation.
Or everything.
I'm just not going to win it. Everybody's got a boss, George. And mine... My wife was not going to let me win that one. So, unfortunately, I couldn't. It's just bad timing. You know, if it was next Sunday, I would have been able to do it. If it was last Sunday, I would have been able to do it. Just this particular Sunday, I couldn't do it. So, good luck to all of those in the Greenwich Street Tavern League draft. There's two different drafts. Do you know the formats? Are they pretty standardized, like PPR leagues? Or they're two 12-team leagues. So, good luck to Matt Modica and everybody else drafting today.
I assume it's people, regular snake drafts. I know they're doing an auction one too, and I wasn't getting involved in that. I can't do an auction. It just takes too long, and I don't know if I have that kind of time. They're doing auctions as well, but I don't think that's part of what's going on today. I think today is just two regular 12-team drafts.
An auction league in a bar on a Sunday? That thing would go like 6 hours.
Forever. That's the problem.
I'm just telling you. Yeah. That's the issue. Like if I get done the show in the studio, shoot over, do a regular draft, I'm out of there in 2 hours, then I could make it happen. But that's not what's going to happen. The drafts start later today. So good luck to everybody, and good luck to all of you that are drafting, regardless of format or regardless of the league. Feel free to hit us up with questions at George Kurtz, at Mike Blewett. George, do you handle the answer queue still during the week?
Actually, just answered a question now about somebody who wanted to know if he should trade Pryor and Diggs for Crowder and Baldwin.
Pryor and Diggs for Crowder and Baldwin. PPR?
Yes.
I'll take the Crowder-Baldwin side.
That's where I went with it as well. I told him I would do that deal pretty easily. I have Baldwin ranked higher than Pryor, and I have Crowder ranked higher than Diggs, and I love Pryor. But I think Baldwin's still a better play this season. I'm actually doing that deal pretty easily.
Doug Baldwin had 94 catches last year. I think people consistently
–
totally. Honestly, one of the most underrated players in the NFL, and somewhat underrated in fantasy football, although he's in the wide receiver one discussion this year for the first time. So that's it, folks. 2 hours up, 2 hours down. Wide-ranging topics today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got some insight into the draft. Fantasy Football Gold is up next. George and I will see you here next Saturday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Have a great Sunday.